Everyone, привет. Thank you again for joining this session as well. I think it's time to get started. So for those of you who did not attend my previous session, my name is Taimur Hussain. I'm the Global Business Lead for Link at Microsoft. It's a great pleasure to be here amongst you, and thank you so much for taking the time to come and talk to us today. Today we will be talking about unified communications and choosing the right UC solution. At least that's the topic that we wanted to discuss. One of the reasons why we proposed this topic for discussion was really to understand the process or the cycle that we go through when we are evaluating our next generation of communication products and our decision factors as customers. So I'm going to attempt to do something very different in this particular session. I'm going to try and not be a Microsoft person to provide some sort of industry exposure, industry background. I will talk a little bit about Microsoft strategy as a unified communications platform, but I'll try to keep it at a good balance because I think it's fair to provide that input into you. In this particular session, I'd welcome any questions. I realize that in the last session I didn't say that, but if you have questions and you would like to ask in Russian, it's no problem. We have some people who will help translate the questions for me. So definitely, if you have any questions, please feel free to address. So I thought I would start off by talking a little bit about what is unified communications and how we define UC. A lot of people define this particular aspect very differently. So I'm going to take it upon myself to talk about how Microsoft defines UC. For us, unified communications is a set of different products and different modalities, and let me explain to you what I mean. We are very familiar with non-real-time communications. This includes things like email, like IM, like texting. Some of this functionality has existed for 20 years or more. So we're very familiar with that. We're also very familiar with real-time communication modalities, such as voice and video and collaboration, right? Voice, for example, has existed for more than 100 years. So as human beings, these are all very familiar to us. For Microsoft, unified communications is a culmination of all of these different workloads, both real-time and non-real-time together. One of the things that I want to actually stress upon is that Microsoft's own platform is not just Link for UC. It's actually a combination of Link, Exchange, and SharePoint that form our full strategy. I know we focus on Link, but it's important to realize what the umbrella of UC really encompasses as well. The other thing that I think is very important, and this is a significant shift that started to occur in the early 2000s, is presence became a little bit more available for us to consume. And by presence, I mean more information about the other party without talking to them. So for example, in earlier, maybe 20 years ago, if I really needed to know the availability for someone or the ability for them to talk to me or communicate with me, I would have to ask them. There was no other way for me to understand a person's situation without asking them straight, directly, what their situation was. Now that we have the ability to see presence information and to consume presence information based on perhaps their meeting information, their calendar information, manual status, automatic status based on device usage, we know automatically a lot about this person before we even talk to them. So presence for us becomes the dial tone of the future, where we can use this to leverage our UC strategy around. And we'll talk a little bit about what that means as well. So for us, UC, or Unified Communications, I'll abbreviate from now on, is one of the things that encompasses to and from all of these workloads, right? It also doesn't mean necessarily one-to-one, right? We are very, in our real lives, very rarely are we having one-to-one communications in our professional environment. It's usually one-to-many. So I want to make sure we understand that when we talk about unified communications, it's not necessarily just talking about one-to-one communications. It has to be a collaborative experience that is inclusive of all the members that are critical for us to communicate with as well. Okay? The other thing that I think that we lose track of and we lose focus of is the difference between synchronous collaboration and asynchronous collaboration, right? So when we're talking about real-time communications, we sort of exclude people who are not present in this environment. If I'm talking to one of my colleagues or many of my colleagues, anybody who's not able to be present or consume this information is left out. And we want to make sure that we are inclusive of people who cannot make this event. We live in a sort of a global culture and a global world where a lot of people, due to time zones, due to traveling, due to various other circumstances, cannot be a part of everything that we do. We don't want to hold up the work, but we certainly want to be inclusive of them as well. So asynchronous collaboration, which means after the fact consuming what was decided or what was talked about, is also very important as part of a UC strategy. We want to make sure we stress on that piece as well. The key thing that really, this is my personal issue today with a lot of what's happening in the world is we've somehow as an industry, as an organization, managed to separate unified communications and voice, traditional voice, into two different things. And I think we've made a really big mistake. I think the onus falls on companies like Microsoft and other vendors who are in this space to sort of make that distinction, to make that disparity. And what I mean by that is we want to make sure we understand that unified communications would not be so unless it included telephony, unless it included traditional voice. It's the most critical part of our communications modalities, and it has to be considered as part of a full solution. There cannot be a different UC strategy and a different telephony strategy. That doesn't make any sense. So I want to make sure that we address that as well. And if you look at voice just by itself, there's a lot of nuances that we've picked up over the last 100 or so years of voice being dominant in our society, right? We have a non-real-time version of voice as well, which is voicemail, where people can send messages back and forth, which can be consumed at a later date. We also have all these features about looking up people and numbers and dialing and so on, and integration with telephony providers like PSTN carriers and toll bypass and so many other nuances around voice that come to pair. But those are all sort of back-end functionality that we assume should be provided by whichever vendor we choose. But as long as we consider that communication modality as part of the global UC strategy, I think is very important as well. The other thing I want to talk a little bit about is asynchronous messaging as well, right? We were talking about synchronous messaging. We focus on that a lot. We tend to start thinking about UC from the telephony background, which is very natural for us because telephony is something we've been using for a very long time. But asynchronous collaboration is very important as well. We're very used to email, right? Where some of us in some cultures and some geographies are very used to voicemail. But now we're sort of getting into this whole phase of okay, I have voicemail, I have email, I have all these points of access. Who sent me this message? Where is it stored? How do I find it again? What's the discoverability? I need to delete it. I need to forward it. There's so many considerations to asynchronous messaging, and it has to be a part of our collaboration strategy. It cannot just be real time or synchronous only. Okay. Having said that, synchronous collaboration is very, very important for us. It starts around our presence infrastructure, which I'll talk a little bit about, but it also includes instant messaging, voice, video, conferencing, collaborative experiences like you saw in the demo earlier, shared workspaces, shared collaboration experiences with whiteboards and applications, everything that we do on a daily basis to be able to bring all of this together with a lot of people has to be included as part of our UC definition as well. I'm not going to go through the list, but I bet that if we were going to make a list of all the use case scenarios that each and every single one of you experience or want to experience in a given day, the list would be much longer than this one, right? These are just some of the things that I happen to do on a daily or a weekly basis and the way that I would like to communicate with my colleagues, my peers, my professional network of people inside and outside of Microsoft. But the list is very exhaustive, right? There's many, many other things that we want to do. And all of those communications, whether I'm in the office or I'm not in the office, whether I'm using my mobile phone or I'm using my laptop or my desk phone, all of those scenarios have to make a unified communications or be part of a unified communication strategy as well. So once again, I'm not going to go through the typical use cases or typical use case scenarios, but I put up this flow about something that I like to do or I do a lot of the time. So I'm in a document that's on a SharePoint site. Most of my documents live on SharePoint. So I'm on a document that is in a SharePoint site. I want to talk to the author of the document. Because of our Office integration, I can directly collaborate with the author or the reviewer or the last person who edited that document. I can start a chat session with him. I can then escalate that chat session to a voice and a video session, and I can share the document to show him exactly, him or her, exactly what I am seeing and what I have, what I would like to edit with that document as well. I can invite other people to collaborate with us on that particular document to provide us feedback or some input into that as well. And then I can record all of that communication and put it back onto that SharePoint site for others to consume so they can see what editing history there was as well. Right, that's an example of a workflow, a simple process that would have generally taken, you know, maybe between 1 to 5 days, depending on the efficiency of your organization and the people. It could take days, and we want to reduce that time from days into minutes. That's what we want to do as well. I'll give you a simpler, a more basic example. You know, I'm based very far from Russia. And I was invited by my esteemed colleague, Mr. Ivan here, to speak at TechEd Russia. And over the last 3 weeks, we've been collaborating together on the agenda, on what goals we will have for the presentation and so on, all through a collaborative experience. We're in different time zones. I've been traveling. I've come here directly from Japan. And we've been able to do that, send files back and forth, collaborate on document presentation. Everything that you see here has been done in a collaborative environment. And I didn't have any hindrances to be able to do that. We didn't have to wait for each other to, you know, have an email sync and so on. So I think it's very important to realize the time that we have taken away from some of this process that generally happens from a day-to-day basis as well. So that's how we define UC. That's the capabilities that we define UC to have, or we think that unified communications should consist of, and also some of the devices that we think that should be enabled for unified communications. So let's talk a little bit about that, right? So what we're saying is nothing revolutionary, actually. There is no invention or innovation or revolution in providing these unified communications capabilities to your users. IM, it's existed since early 90s, right? Voicemail, probably 70s or 80s, right? Video conferencing, also I saw one of the inventors of video conferencing who started the first video conference across at the Atlantic Ocean in 1967. So video conferencing has existed for a very long time. Telephony, you know, Mr. Alexander Graham Bell, bless his soul, invented this in the early 1900s. Web conferencing has existed for 20, 25 years. Email, same thing. And audio conferencing has been a very long time as well. So there's no innovation here. Nothing new is what we're talking about. What we want to talk about now is, because these things have existed, why have people not been more productive with these workloads? Why have some of these workloads, especially video conferencing, not been adopted at the same rate that we have wanted these things to be adopted? And we think that we know the answer to that, right? We want to bring these things together rather than have them in silo, fragmented solutions as well. And that's what we aim to do. That's what Microsoft aims to do. We want to bring all of those workloads and all of those functionalities under one unified experience. One unified experience for the end users and one unified experience for management as well. And we'll talk a little bit about what that means. I was talking about presence as being the core of the identity as well, right? So we talk about these things, we talk about all the things that we want to do, but we cannot do those things until we have somebody to do them with, right? And having somebody to do them with, and their ability to share their capability, their availability information, is reflected by presence. Within Link, we've built sort of this infrastructure to say, not only is a person available, but what is their capability? Are they on a mobile phone? Are they available for video? Can they be contacted over IM? We have all of this functionality built into our presence engine. So when you are looking at someone, you automatically know what is the best way to talk to them or the best way to communicate with them. And that's really, really powerful. That's what we want to do as well. Okay. As I was saying earlier, we have multiple products that fit in these features as well. SharePoint is a part of this as well, but the culmination of non-real-time and real-time coming together is very important for us to form our unified communication strategy. The other thing that we want to talk about, and I shared this slide earlier with you as well, is now we've sort of put a basic foundation around what we need to do. So the second question is, how can we do that, right? So we've got over the what. Now we need to figure out how, right? So I know, for example, standing here, I know I need to communicate with my manager who sits in Seattle, Washington. If I need to talk to him, I need to do a video conference with him. Maybe it's something sensitive I want to share, right? How do I do that, right? Users don't like to be tied up with this how question, because they tend to typically have a device with them at all times. And regardless of their situation, whether they're connected to a Wi-Fi network or a 3G network, or they're using a mobile phone or a tablet or a PC, they want to be able to do the same things. And that's very important to us as well. So we want to deliver this experience across all devices, across all locations. That has to be number one. That has to be the number one thing that we do. One of the reasons why the Skype model is so successful is because Skype is ubiquitous. It's available on every device. You can connect from everywhere you want, and you can call up anybody who has a Skype ID, right? It's very, very ubiquitous. And we want to make sure that communications remains as streamlined and ubiquitous as that. Any device, anywhere, anytime. That's the idea. So one of the things that we're trying to provide is a very unified experience, right? You saw earlier in the demo, I apologize if you haven't seen it, we're bringing the experience together across PC, mobile, and web. So we want to make sure that whether you want to join as a first-class citizen with a web client, whether it's from a mobile client, whether it's from a PC client, the experience doesn't change. You don't have to worry about where buttons live, where identities live, and so on. All of that is streamlined for you through the user interface that we're trying to build and show. We also realize the importance of having this dedicated voice endpoint that we call a desk phone or a phone. This has existed in the enterprise for tens of years, tens of decades, right? And we want to make sure that we now enable this telephony-only dial tone device to provide capability that's additional capability on top of that device. We cannot have investments in a dedicated voice device that only does replacement of PBX phone functionality. That's not something we can do. We want to make sure that we enable these devices to have some of the rich features we're talking about, especially presence and calendaring information and out-of-office information and so on. Some of the rich features that we are expecting now on some of our other devices have to make it. If we are going to invest in a dedicated telephony device, it has to be there as well. Okay? So you're seeing some screenshots of our phone capability. By the way, how many of you did not know before today that Link had dedicated hard phones? Just a quick poll. Dedicated desk phones. So maybe a few people. So it's very important to know we have dedicated desk phones, and that's the experience that you'll see from there as well. So let's change gears for a second here. Let's talk a little bit about architecture and what it means in the background as well. I read this article the other day that talked a little bit about a unified architecture and how important it was to have a one-stop shop for all your needs. And there's been a really interesting report from one of our analysts, Gartner, that's titled Debunking the Myths of a One-Stop Shop, of a single point of contact for all your needs. And it's very important to sort of have that. Microsoft, traditionally, since the inception of time in our company, has always relied and always believed that we need to build a partner ecosystem to really enrich our solutions to our end consumers, to offer choice rather than lock you into models that we believe may or may not be right for you as well. So this unified architecture is that what comes to play. In light of what we're talking about here, 2 years ago, Microsoft co-founded a forum called the Unified Communications Interoperability Forum, of which I'm very proud to be a member. And what that forum really does is it brings together some of the major players in unified communications, and they have a monthly sync up and have more sort of often they have conversations and forums around how do we progress on this goal to make communications ubiquitous across their products, right? So all of these vendors have some sort of stake in unified communications, whether it's the networking fabric, whether it's the application layer, or whether it's some sort of other solution, hardware or software based, that plugs into it. So all of these people sit together and we figure out how are we going to interoperate with each other, how will we work together, what solutions will we provide to our customers, to our organizations that want to indulge us in this particular strategy. So it's very important for us to build this ecosystem. No one vendor is going to make the best of breed product across the board. Right? So we want to make sure that some people who have the expertise like RadVision and Acme Packet and Audio Codes and Aspect, Polycom, people who have been leaders in their field for years and years can build the products that they want, but those products should work really well together so that you as a consumer of these products have the choice but without the compromise. That's what we're trying to do with this forum as well. So talking a little bit about the unified architecture and the platform as Link, you'll notice that when I talk about Link, we don't really talk about Link as a product. I talk about Link as a platform because there's so many things that we can build on top of a solution like Link that are very exciting to me as well. But talking a little bit about the unified architecture, we're talking about unified operation as well. The reason why this is really important is because we get into this whole management solution piece. We think that buying a UC solution and deploying a UC solution is what matters the most. Where in fact, buying and deploying a UC solution may be a 1 to 2 year strategy for you, but operating and maintaining a UC solution is probably a 5 to 10 year initiative, right? So you really need to figure out, is the solution that I am buying or is the solution that I'm investing in going to be feasible for me to manage, right? Do I want a separate set of products, siloed products that integrate with each other? Or do I want one product that has no integration points and is easy to manage and monitor and monetize from my support staff perspective? That's very, very key to provide a reliable service to your customers. You don't want to have 100 IT staff just to manage your UC solution, right? You want to make sure that it's scalable from that perspective as well. The other thing that I made a mention of in my session previous, and I promised I'd talk in a little bit more detail about it in here, is extensibility, right? I always get asked a very, very interesting question, which is a myth I'd like to debunk right now. Most, if not all, UC solutions are delivered. Can anybody answer this question for me? Are delivered in hardware or software? Anybody? Take a guess. Software, right? So most UC solutions, whether they're from other vendors such as Cisco or Avaya or Mitel, ShoreTel, are all software-based solutions. You know, their servers run on software, their hardware runs on software, their endpoints have software capabilities. Everything is done by software. And so I ask people, if UC is going to be delivered via software, who would you trust as a unified communications partner? A hardware company or the largest software company in the world, right? So this is my question. And the reason why it's important to think about the platform that we build software on is, again, back to Microsoft's roots. Our philosophy is we're going to give you something and you're going to build on it to create industry, right? To create an ecosystem. And that's the idea. Link, or our product suite of unified communications, actually has the richest capability API set in the industry today, which means that this enables our partners, our customers, to build really, really rich solutions. Things like, you know, you can even customize the entire UI. You can integrate with websites and social media interactions, business flows, creative processes. All of that stuff is built right into the product to be able to do that for you as well. I'll talk a little bit about what our customers have done in this regard to be able to provide you a good context of what I'm talking about. This is a product that's delivered. It's called Wave Link Communicator Messaging Product. And so what this did is they integrated two-way radios for their dispatch systems with Link as well. So you can see the presence on the mapping application. This is, by the way, their own application, right? So you can see the presence of that person through GPS tracking, and you have their radio information right there as well. So straight through Link, you see their presence information and their radio information and their location, and from Link, you can reach their two-way audio device directly, right? So you don't have to have multiple endpoints once again. Imagine this Link interface is now your mobile phone or your tablet or your PC or your desk phone. the ability to reach a two-way radio phone with looking at their location to be able to dispatch the right emergency unit, dispatch the right person to the right place. How powerful is that? Travel for education needs and so on, to really bring the classroom experience to them all the way, right? So this is a actual live feed of the classroom. You see the teacher is writing on the blackboard. You have all the participants that are in that meeting. By the way, this is a Link client that they've changed the UI completely. Everything in the back end is a Link technology, and you have the ability to ask a question. So the interactive portion of the distance learning is still there. You also have the archival capabilities of recording the session, consuming it later on, and to be able to upload it to a common site to be able to provide that. So this capability, again, built natively into the product with some little custom development, can provide that. And can you imagine the reach of this with Skype, for example, for people who are using Skype or browsers to join a session like this? Very, very powerful story to bring on from a communications-enabled business process. Okay? So what's the business value for UC? I can stand here and tell you all day that you need UC, but that shouldn't convince you, right? I am not very credible. We should figure out what is really the business value and what problem are we trying to solve here, right? So some of the things that we've heard IT organizations always tell us is definitely cost, right? Complexity and cost is the number one reason why IT comes to us and says, look, this is getting very complicated. And the reason why it costs so much is because traditionally businesses have always gone to IT departments and said, I need video conferencing, I need voice conferencing, I need the ability to do IMs, or I need PBX functionality for PSTN connectivity. This is stuff that people need, and IT organizations didn't ever have a great way to deliver them. They had these fragmented solutions that they could buy, but never really has it been a unified experience so that it's easy to adopt. So that's been one of the biggest things that people have told us as well. Compliance is another thing. Communications has this tricky sort of middle ground where it needs to be very, very compliant as well as ubiquitous to be able to use. So compliance is an important portion of what we want to talk about as delivering a unified communication solution as well. Support is very important as well, and we want to make sure that we support all the diversity of the users. In Microsoft, for example, there's a lot of different kinds of users. Some people love the desk phone. They won't let go of it. Some people love their headset. Some people never use a laptop, believe it or not. They use their mobile phones. They use, now the Surface tablets and so on. So we have to support a diverse set of users to be able to provide that as well. So those are some of the pain points that the IT has. Our business also comes to us with pain points as well, right? There's a lot of different businesses who are now coming to us and saying, you know, it's great. I can talk to anybody in my company. Fantastic. I don't need anything else. But what happens when you want to talk to somebody outside your company? How do you find them? Do you need their presence information? Can you do video with them? If you ask Microsoft, we take this ability for granted. The reason is because today, Microsoft federates with 3,200 other organizations. So 3,200 other companies can talk to us in the same way that we talk internally, exactly the same way, over any modality that they choose at any time that they choose. That's very, very key. A colleague of mine from New Zealand has built a directory called linkdirectory.com. You can go to that. And you can see over 5,000 companies who have listed themselves as willing to federate with other customers if they want to as well. Very, very key and powerful story. So coming back to some of the business impact, right? We talk a little bit about this user experience and the unified architecture, but what's the bottom line, right? The bottom line is we want to decrease costs. Whether you associate decreasing of costs with reducing travel expenses, increased productivity, reduction of IT expenses and IT workloads to provide even more services with fewer resources. Those are all tangible reduction of costs. Okay? And we want to improve business outcomes. We want to enable our workforce with new ways to do business, right? I bet that in our organizations, and this was true for me as well, before I came to Microsoft, we just didn't do a lot of video. We didn't see the value. It was difficult to do it. Needed to have certain tools and resources and time and so on. We want to make sure we enable these new technologies, new ways to communicate to drive better business outcome, to drive better individual response to some of these things that we are asked to do in a very, very competitive world today. That's the bottom line. That's what we're achieving today as well. So what we think about, and these are, by the way, these are based on numbers that we, Microsoft, have typically seen inside our organization and some of our largest Fortune 500 organizations in the world as well, right? This is what we think the impact can be for unified communications. I'll give you a simple example. The first year that Microsoft used OCS R2 at the time for conferencing, for dial-in audio conferencing, we saved $9.1 million that year just by terminating audio conferencing internally, right? Just by not having audio conferencing go out externally, right? That's a very, very significant amount of money to save just by implementing a solution that's easy to use and that works at all times, right? So this is one of the things that we think that this should happen. What do we expect from a business outcomes perspective and an improvement of business outcome perspective? We really, really expect productivity to go up. If there's new communications or new things happening, we expect the productivity to go up by the use of IM, by the use of having more collaboration experiences, easier to use document sharing and collaboration experiences right off the bat from the product as well. We expect projects to be completed quicker and faster, driving more efficiency. We expect to shorten sales cycles. We expect to resolve customer issues faster. And we expect a general retention of employees because their work-life balance is better and their way of interacting with their colleagues is better as well. And this, I would encourage you to also go and look at another study, which is Forrester is a very famous analyst that did a study of total economic impact of unified communications. And these are numbers straight from that study as well. So what are our differentiators? What do we do? Why is this important, what I'm talking about from that perspective as well? We talked about bringing the experiences together. When we said we have all these workloads, both real-time and non-real-time, we're going to bring these together under one experience for the end user, under one management domain for the IT pro, right? And we're also going to be able to make that experience available across devices, across location, across boundaries, and give you flexibility. One of the things that we're doing that's very important with our Wave 15 product launch with Office 2013 is we're allowing flexible deployment options, whether they're on-premises or hybrid or in the cloud with Office 365, with partner cloud. There's so many different options for you to be able to manage it, right? If you decide you don't want to manage a link deployment, that's no problem. You can have a partner choose do it for you or have Microsoft do it for you as well. There's many, many options to provide all the things I'm talking about without having to go through some of the trouble of figuring out how to manage, maintain, and operate a solution as well. The other thing I want to talk a little bit about is our device and partner ecosystem as well. I talked about how Microsoft built a trillion-dollar industry, which is the PC industry. And the way we did that is we didn't decide to make everything, right? If we had decided to make everything, then there's a good 10,000 or so companies that wouldn't exist today, right? We decided to make the software and enable people like Dell and HP and IBM and many, many other companies to build their businesses around that software, to build their businesses around that product, right? So for Link, it's the same concept, right? We provide that software, but then we provide a device ecosystem or a partner ecosystem that can enable much more functionality on top of that platform. And that's what we want to do as well. These are some of our key partners in our partner ecosystem that provide those kinds of devices. You can see as an example over here, I want to use the hard phone or the desk phone as an example of some of the devices. And these are Polycom across the board. Polycom is one of our strongest devices partners. Everything from USB speakerphones to USB devices to standalone Ethernet-based speakerphone or hard phones to conference room phones to panorama 360-degree rich HD video devices are provided across the board. And that's just one partner. That's just one vendor, which is Polycom. We have many, many vendors that provide a rich array of devices as well. We have some very cool meeting room solutions as well to provide you that boardroom experience. One of our senior leaders at Link likes to talk about the boardroom to the living room, and that's what we want to provide. We want to provide communications coverage all the way from the boardroom to the living room and anything in between, right? This is very, very key for us to provide that as an experience. I was talking a little bit earlier about what the transition of this phone, and I want to provide some background. Back in 2002, I was selling a solution, an IP telephony solution, and at that time TDM was 85-90% of the market, and we would go to Nortel customers and when we would say, by the way, TDM is finished, we need to sell IP telephony now, it's the way of the future. And people used to say, no, we don't, we used to have the same resistance. And it's interesting because at that time, IP telephony made sense as an infrastructure forklift because it was very cost efficient. You didn't have to deploy copper for voice and data for data, right? So it made sense to converge that network and just, replace the handset with an IP-based handset. It doesn't make sense anymore because there's so much more capability that we can provide to a dedicated voice telephony endpoint. We're not converging networks anymore. We're converging workloads. And those workloads need to converge on a dedicated desk phone device as well. So that's why you have to have things like contact lists and presence and calendaring information on the phone itself. The last thing I'll talk about very quickly here is our open interoperability program. So we are the only vendor that I know of that has a program to qualify a lot of different things to fit into our unified communications platform story, right? So we qualify a lot of these partners to provide, they have their own products that provide voice services, video services, and so on. And we qualify them through a third-party process to ensure we have the best interoperability with Link, right? We're very, very invested in interoperability. We want to make sure that any vendor, any solution that you may have has interoperability with our product as well, because we understand the investments customers have made. We understand the ecosystem that exists around us, and we want to make sure we're good citizens from that perspective as well. Those were some of the examples of interoperability between gateways and IP PBXs and telephony systems. This is an example of us qualifying SIP trunking services, making sure that SIP trunking services follow a certain standard, follow certain quality that we expect to provide to our customers. And these are all the partners that we're working with to qualify their solutions to provide an end-to-end PSTN to endpoint voice solution. From that perspective as well. So given that, I think that's the end of my slide presentation. I'm saving 10 minutes at the end here for Q&A. Anything goes. If you want to ask any question about any other vendor, our vendor strategy, any competitive information, more than welcome to ask. And if you want to ask in Russian, no problem. I have some people who will help me translate these questions as well. If not, no problem, I'm here. If you want to come to me after the session, we can do that as well. So at this point, I'll open it up to any questions, either on the floor or online. Any questions, anyone? Any thoughts? Oh, a few of them. Okay, go ahead. Sorry. So the question is there any SDK for attendant console to be able to deliver that capability? So the answer, unfortunately, is no. We don't have any SDK to extend the capability of an attendant console. We've seen some of our partners build very creative solutions that look like attendant consoles. And can provide some of that functionality from a call center agent perspective. We have a lot of partners that have provided that. But for our native attendant console product, there's no SDK for that. But certainly you can build upon the native Link SDK to build your own attendant console. Absolutely.
Вопрос был. Sorry, I need to translate.
No problem.
Вопрос был о том, есть ли SDK конкретно для Link Attendant, то есть для консоли секретаря. SDK для Link Attendant да нет, да, то есть да, она есть для Link, но ее не для Link Attendant. Да. У нас есть там достаточно большое количество партнеров, которые там делают многие вещи на SDK. Но если у вас, да, если у вас возникает необходимость, то есть какой-то функционал, да, сделать как вот с attendant, да, вы можете, используя link SDK, не SDK attendant, да, просто создать свой attendant. И мы видели это неоднократно. Угу. Да, да, то есть сделать своего клиента. Там на самом деле очень легко, у нас есть курсы на TechEd, как это делается.
I think we have a question over here.
Yes, makes sense.
Thank you, Nikolai, for the translation.
Well, thank you, and Timur, for a bright presentation.
Thank you.
Would you comment something on using interactive whiteboards and interactive panels in collaboration?
Very, very good question. So the question is, would I recommend anything for interactive whiteboards and interactive collaboration? So, you know, one of the things that I think we didn't do a good job of is, and Ivan just left, but to provide you a little bit of look into the solutions that we are delivering with Link 2013. So we've partnered very closely with a company called Smart Technologies, that their whole business is around interactive whiteboards and interactive collaboration experiences. And actually we have a new Link Room system, which is a meeting room collaboration environment with meetings, content, video, as well as collaboration technologies. So we have a very rich solution to provide for that. If you find me online, I'll get you more details about what that is. But certainly we're partnering with the likes of Smart and Crestron and so on to provide rich sessions. So for example, if you are whiteboarding something, we want not only the people in the room to be able to consume that whiteboard real time, we want people who are joining a Link meeting to consume that content as well. And that's indeed possible today. So thank you very much for that. Any other thoughts, questions, concerns? Anything you'd like to share? We have some time. Okay. Well, in that case, thank you very much for your time. Wish you best of luck for the rest of the conference. We do have two good sessions tomorrow. Nikolai is presenting a voice deep dive session about Link Voice. I'm presenting a session about mobility and covering some ground about voice as well, overview session. So please join us tomorrow as we talk through some of the mobile experiences that we'll be delivering as Link 2013.
And Marius as well.
I'm sorry. And Marius has a very important session as well that'll be covering on video, so we'll have a lot of video solutions. Perhaps you want to join, we'll talk a little bit about video and interoperability as well. Thank you very much.